On the show today, we have TMG's Jeff Falk and PolicyWorks' Cindy Williams talking about five things to know about prepaid card regulation. Welcome to our show, and on today's program, we have PolicyWorks' Cindy Williams. How are you, Cindy?
I'm great. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for asking. And then we have TMG's Director of Prepaid, Jeff Falk. How are you, Jeff?
I'm doing good, Mike. I hope you are too.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you. Yes, we are doing A-OK out here in San Diego. We're getting a whole bunch of rain. We're very happy about that. So looks like our drought might finally be over. So, but we're talking about other different things today. Five things to know about prepaid card regulations. This is something you guys are putting out right now. And just to kind of start off here, but you know, why are prepaid cards so popular right now? What's going on here? Jeff, Cindy, anyone want to go first? Or
sure, Mike. What we're seeing right now is that millennials are really becoming a power user group of prepaid cards, and in particular, the reload space. And we're also seeing that the traditional groups such as unbanked and underbanked are also getting a lot of traction or continuing to get traction in the space.
Cool. And Cindy, anything to add there from the regulatory perspective?
Well, you know, the new rule has come out, and believe it or not, it was actually welcomed by a lot of financial institutions because it gave us some clarity with some things that had been a little bit confusing. Okay. So it's not often that we're able to say that a rule actually is going to help us, but I think this one will.
Oh, good. Okay. I like that. I like that. And kind of bucking the current trend, huh? So,
right.
So what are the three different types of prepaid cards out there? Just to kind of give people a kind of a lay of foundation here. Jeff, you want to go first on that one?
Absolutely, Mike. So you've got your typical gift cards, and these are going to be ones that are either labeled with Visa, MasterCard, American Express, or Discover. And some of these are sold at a bank or credit union branch. Some are sold at retailers such as Walmart, Walgreens, etc. Then we've got some the reload cards. So reload cards are sold similarly, retail or through the branches. And then there's payroll cards, or what's known as a corporate loaded card. And these are offered through employers, typically.
They're
offered to employees as an alternative for those folks that don't have a traditional debit account, but still want the power and the safety and security of a card as their payment instrument in lieu of a paper check.
Yeah, this is something that this is obviously a story for another time, but this is something that it's super interesting, and it's you know, borderline a threat to financial institutions out there providing these payroll cards, because it just kind of supersedes the whole banking process, and it goes straight from employer to employee, and then takes out the whole banking process. But anyway, that's another story for another time. But that's why I wanted to ask, is because I just find those things so fascinating now, because it's kind of a cool thing, but it's kind of scary for credit unions as well. So from a regulatory perspective, Cindy, how are each of these handled here? I mean, just kind of briefly, are there any regulatory hurdles we need to deal with, especially the payroll card?
Well, there are a few. The first thing that I mentioned previously about there actually being a little bit of good news is that the electronic card world had advanced a lot quicker than the regulatory world did. And so there was sort of a gray area of what kind of regulations apply to what kinds of electronic cards. Mm-hmm. So that was one thing that happened with this new rule, is that there's a definition now that helps us determine whether or not other regulations that are already in effect, such as Reg E and Reg Z, apply.
Okay.
So that was the first piece of it. Now, there are some additional requirements, though, of course. We have to have some new disclosures. You can't have a rule without new disclosures. So we have some new disclosures that we have to deal with, and there are some timing requirements around those that we have to be concerned with. And then also now, many of these cards have been brought under the protection of error resolution and things like that. So that's another new process that credit unions are going to have to think about.
Yeah, okay, cool. Yeah. Jeff, you have anything to add there?
I was just going to add that, especially when we get into payroll cards, there are state-by-state regulations that are very important. And many times it depends upon where the employee is located. So just because you have a headquarters in, let's say, California, if you have employees in Ohio or Pennsylvania, or the latest is to come out in the press is New York, mm-hmm. with some new rules around payroll cards, you have to be cognizant of where your employees are and where they're located, okay. because each state can have a little nuance or a big nuance, yep. Just depending on where they're located.
Good to know. And now, so who's using these cards? I mean, is it just anybody? I mean, I know over the holiday season, everybody and anybody used a gift card. I mean, you can get those at the grocery store, for crying out loud. But for, like, you know, the general purpose and the reloadable cards and then the payroll card, who is using these?
So on general purpose reload, millennials, we mentioned that at the onset. So you've got millennials, you've got the traditional unbanked. These are folks that haven't necessarily had any experience with the quote banking credit union industry in the past, financial service industry. And they're just new to that particular piece. And they'll use these cards. They're offered through grocery stores, et cetera,
right.
Through retail sales channel or through your branches. But what we're seeing is that those are the two main groups. Now, with millennials, they're finding this as a sort of an anti-bank backlash type of thing, you know, stick it to the man. These are all that we hear in the marketplace as an alternative to a traditional bank debit account. And in many cases, it meets or exceeds what they can get in the marketplace. And one of the things that is very attractive to the millennials is the technology component.
Yeah.
So having a card that adds text messaging that includes your balance, having a mobile application, and being able to graphically display how much money you've mm-hmm. spent or how much you have left mm-hmm. is very captivating to that particular segment.
Indeed. And so from a regulator's perspective, why is there increased regulator attention here, Cindy? What's going on?
Well, as I mentioned previously, technology has always been ahead of the regulations. And so regulators saw these different kinds of cards out there. And, you know, honestly, it made them nervous. You know, they didn't know, but, you know, how is everybody handling that? How's everyone taking care of that? So they've had a concern about it for a while, I think, and they realized that they needed to update regulations to keep up with technology. So mm-hmm. that's really why this came about. And this is very often the case where it's something that makes them nervous, and so they decide to update their regulations to take care of that.
Gotcha.
So that's why it happened.
Gotcha. All right, let's get back to the title of this, you know, 5 things to know about prepaid card. Right. Let's go over, I mean, we don't have time to go over all 5 of them, but let's go over a couple of them. Jeffy, let's go like number 1 here, upfront disclosures. I think both of you guys could probably talk to this one. What's the number 1 thing here, upfront disclosures? What's this all about?
Well, I think, Mike, the most important takeaway on this one is that prior to a consumer purchasing a general purpose reload card, what now is going to be required is that you provide the consumer with terms and conditions to include the fee schedule. And I think that the important piece here was that you're not buying something blindly and then all of a sudden you find out that it has a $59, 95-cent fee every month.
Yes.
And really, it's been driven by, just to give a little bit more context here, it was driven by, as it is typically in the marketplace, by a few bad apples that went out to market and didn't disclose as openly as they probably should have.
Mm-hmm.
And this really provides a great consumer protection.
Okay.
It gives people the ability to see it up front, see what they're getting into.
Gotcha. Yeah. Aren't regulations due to just a few bad apples kind of ruining the whole bunch? You know, I mean, that's we're all kind of paying the price for a few people and few organizations that went haywire. So I don't know. I digress. Cindy, anything to add to that one?
Well, I would just say it's not a surprise. These new upfront disclosures.
Oh, yeah.
There are so many other things, you know, in the world that we have to provide disclosures for. So, being very clear and open up front, not a surprise, and actually benefit to the consumer.
Yep. Number 2 here, guys, protections from unauthorized purchases. Jeff, you want to take this one?
Sure, Mike. So again, this is something that's been in the marketplace. Visa has their zero liability, as does MasterCard. Mm-hmm. And so those have been out in the marketplace, and it's been the application of those types of policies and whether or not it was standard across the industry. What this regulation does is creates kind of a baseline for everyone, so that whether you buy your card at X or I buy my card at Y, or they're two different cards from two different issuers, mm-hmm. you're getting the same baseline protection.
Okay.
And it's really about, hey, there's no, if you have any fraud on the card, you can dispute that. And I know that's another area that we'll get into in the regs, but you'll have the ability to dispute that. And that's been pretty typical. Again, this regulation, for the most part, I would say most of it, brings or just creates a baseline, creates clarity, reduces uncertainty in the marketplace, even though most players, most mainstream players in the marketplace were already doing these things anyway.
Gotcha. Cindy, anything to add there?
Well, it really, you know, for those of you watching that are who are familiar with Reg E, this really brings these cards under the umbrella of Reg E.
Yep.
So now we have time frames in which to conduct investigations, things like that. So that's really one of the biggest pieces from a regulatory standpoint mm-hmm. of this new rule, is that it now brings them under the protections of Reg E.
Okay, gotcha. Let's do a bonus one here. Number three here, error resolution rights. What are the rights here? Jeff, Cindy, anybody?
So basically the financial institution will have 10 days to basically credit your account and find the root cause of what the error is, whether it's fraud, whether it's a mm-hmm. fee error. And that is definitely in line with Reg E and the rules that are out that have been in place for debit cards for a number of years.
Okay.
And again, I think it's just a testament to this rulemaking was bringing prepaid into the fold. And it really legitimizes the product.
Mm-hmm.
And getting what Cindy mentioned earlier around the regulators, it's been a number of years, say the last 20 years, really, that prepaid has been growing, starting from, you know, very small to now hitting a critical mass. It's on the radar. It's more than on the radar of the regulators. But at the end of the day, it really legitimizes the product set in the marketplace.
Cool. And Cindy, I wanted to ask, go ahead.
I was just going to say, you know, this error resolution, this is nothing new.
Mm-hmm.
It's what we've been doing under Reg E. It just, we haven't been doing it for prepaid products. So it's not like it's a brand new process that we have to create.
Okay, very cool. I wanted to ask you as well, because of the new Trump administration coming in, and this may be a little off topic, but they said that, you know, they're going to freeze the regulations. What does that mean?
That's the $64,000 question. That's what everyone is talking about. One thing we know for sure is that even if there is a big change, it's going to take a while to unwind. It's not going to happen overnight.
Right.
And a lot of the changes that occurred were consumer protection changes. And I don't foresee those going away. If it protects the consumer, chances are it will stay in place.
Okay.
There may be some changes, but it's not going to happen overnight.
Okay.
That's my prediction. That's my crystal ball.
Okay. I was like, I knew this interview was coming up, and when that happened over the weekend, it's like, I gotta ask Cindy that question. Like, what does this mean? You know? Are we all just kind of frozen in time? What are we gonna do here? All right. We digress. All right, hey, to wrap up, what's the takeaway message here for financial institutions, credit unions, banks, and the rising popularity of prepaid cards? What can we take away here? Jeff, you want to go first, and then Cindy will wrap up with you?
Sure, Mike. So I think a couple things. One is that prepaid is now legitimate. Not that it wasn't before, but now we have rulemaking that is aligned. For many cases, it's a debit card. It's just a different marketplace
mm-hmm.
that the cards are at. And then the other thing is that from a regulation perspective, it's very important to now that it's more regulated, I guess would be the proper way to say it. It's so important that you pay attention to the regulations. In fact, you look at it as if it's how you would your debit cards.
Right. Okay.
It's no longer sort of off the side of your desk, and now it's mainstream. It's got legitimacy, and it's got the rules behind it as well.
Yep. Very cool, Cindy.
And really, the only thing I would add to that is that even though this does not take effect until October 1st of this year. Work on it now. Don't wait until a couple of weeks before to see if you've got everything in place. Uh-huh. You know, now is a good time to get started on it.
Sooner the better. Sooner the better. Never too early to start. That's for sure. All right, guys. Thank you so much. I appreciate your time. This is such an interesting topic. We could go on and on. There's probably like, you know, 20 things about prepaid cards we could talk about, but you guys narrowed them down to 5, and so we'll let the folks venture out and get the other 2. So appreciate your time, and look forward to chatting again down the road. I'm sure this will be around for a while, especially the regulations aspect here, Cindy.
Absolutely. It's job security, Mike.
And exactly. There you go. Jeff, thank you very much as well, and we'll chat again, definitely.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
You're welcome.